إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, today we live in a world where I probably am not wrong if I say that there is probably nobody in this world, in any culture, belonging to any religion, believing in any ideology or faith, who says that I am very happy with the way the world is today. Wallahu alam, but I don't think there is a single person today in the world, any thinking, sensible person who knows what is happening in the world, who says that alhamdulillah, this world is a very nice place. And when I say world, I don't mean the natural world and so on. All that is of course a beautiful place. I'm talking about society as we have done, organized it and as we run it. I don't think there's a single person who says that this society is good and that what is happening, whatever it is, wherever it is good and this is how it should be. Now think about that. How did we manage to do that? We talk about the peak of civilization, we talk about the peak of education, we talk about the peak of scientific discovery and knowledge. Yet we are looking at a world which looks to be in a state of rapid decline and of implodement, of disintegration. Now, how did we get like this? You know, sometimes I say this, I don't say jokingly because I don't think it's a joke, but I say that if archaeologists of 10,000 years in the future were to come and dig up the mound that would be called our present-day civilization, they would be amazed at how much we knew, yet we did not apply it. For example, today, one of the biggest problems that is facing us is global warming. Another huge problem that's facing us is literally the poisoning of the oceans because of chemical effluents and because of plastics. Huge problem that's facing us is the depletion, the rapid depletion of groundwater, which is resulting in droughts. A problem that's facing us is that of rivers drying up. Now, if you think about this and say, well, is it that we don't know enough about the reasons for global warming? Is it that we don't understand why oceans are getting poisoned? Why plastics are bad when they get thrown into the environment? Is it that we don't have this knowledge? Is it that we do not have the knowledge of water conservation, of the increasing groundwater? Do we not have this knowledge? Are we people who are deficient in this knowledge? If you ask this question, the obvious answer is no, of course not. We are, we probably have more knowledge about all of these things today than we most likely ever had as human beings in this world. Wallahu alam. Now, my point is, therefore, knowing all of this and knowing also that there's no other planet for us to go and migrate to and live in once we have trashed this one, why are we bent on destroying the only home that we have? It's not because of lack of knowledge. Then why is it happening? The answer is, it's not because of lack of knowledge. It is because of the lack of moral values and principles. Now, this is where I want to remind myself and you today that the biggest event that happened in the history of mankind is not the creation of this empire or that empire or the decline and disappearance of this empire or that empire, because we seem to learn and teach history in this way. Our history of the human civilization is the history of empires. It's the history of kings who basically went roughshod over the rights of everybody else, who invaded lands, who occupied lands, who created empires. And then they eventually went into decline after several centuries and disappeared, and someone else did what they did and repeated that cycle. So this is our history. Now, I'm suggesting to you that this is not the, none of that is an event in history. Not the formation of this empire or that empire. The biggest event in history, in the history of mankind, is the coming of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. It is the coming of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I say that this is the biggest event in history for two reasons. First reason is that this is the only event in history where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu communicated directly with mankind. In one way or the other, every prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated with him personally. Adam alayhi salam actually was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally created him, and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He lived in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he came down. Then we have the different Anbiya who came. We have Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and of course all the other Anbiya who have been mentioned in the Quran. And finally we have the Imamul Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the Khatamul Nabiyin, after whom there is no Nabi and no Rasul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. All of these Anbiya alayhimus salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly communicated with them. With some of them he spoke to them, with others he communicated them in the form of wahi, in whichever way that suits his grace and majesty. So this is the first big event where the Anbiya alayhimus salam were people, they were representatives of humanity, who actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated with. So this is a very big event, and this is the biggest event. The second reason why this is the biggest event is because the Anbiya alayhimus salam were the only people, they were absolutely the only human beings in the history of mankind from the time Adam alayhi salam came down till the last day. These were the only people in the history of mankind who had no objective other than the benefit of mankind in front of them. Everybody else, you take anyone and everyone else, their objective was, even where their objective was the benefit of mankind, it came with also their personal benefit. I'm not saying there is anything wrong with that, because if a person is earning halal, if he is taking care of his family, you know, if he is building a good business and so on, but running that business in a halal way, doing good for everybody else, but he's also concerned about his own family, his own wealth. So everyone has a personal interest in what they are doing, except the Anbiya alayhimus salam. The Anbiya alayhimus salam are the only people whose only goal and aim was the benefit of all of humanity and the benefit of the entire world. And that's why I'm saying that this is the biggest event. Now think about the number of million years. It's not that many million, but the number of million years that we are supposed to have spent in this world as human beings, and see how many Anbiya came, right? So we are looking at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 25 or 26 or something like this in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, there's not a, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in the Quran, said in the Quran that to every place where there was human habitation, we have sent somebody. So the point is that totally, if you look at the number of Anbiya compared to the number of humanity as well as the number of years, it is a very small, very, very small percentage. That is all the Anbiya alayhi wasallam who came to this, to human beings. But the impact is absolutely massive. So people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated with, and people who came with only one goal, which was the benefit of others. Now my submission to you, my brothers and sisters, is let us think about this and say, what did they come to teach? We have many needs, right? We have medical needs, we have educational needs, we have entertainment needs, we have need for sports and games, we have need for bodily health, for our health, meaning for, you know, lifestyle, meaning exercise and this and that and the other. We have a need for transport and all kinds of stuff. But what did the Anbiya come to teach us? Did any Nabi come to teach us a better way of farming or better way of agriculture or animal husbandry or architecture or, you know, city planning or public health or nothing? They did not teach any of that. They taught something which is way deep down below all that. Something which is very fundamental, which comes before all of this stuff. And what is that? Values and morals. They came to teach us values and morals. Because whatever we do in our life is based on that. Today, if I ask you, take poverty as one example. Poverty, hunger, people dying of hunger, people committing suicides because they are facing, they are in despair when they look at their lives. We have over 300,000 such farmers alone who have committed suicide in India. And if you look at that, you say, tell me, what is the shortage? Are we looking at a world today which is short of resources? Are we looking at a world today which is short of material, which is short of scientific knowledge, or is it short of money? Or are we looking at a world which is short of compassion, which is short of care and concern for one another, which is short of the feeling of brotherhood? Which is, what are we looking at? So what did the Anbiya come to teach us? How, what do we say today when you are looking at a world where the World Bank tells us that 62 people in this world, 62, there's an exact number, 62 people in this world own more global resources than 50% of this world's population. This world's population is supposed to be, you know, close to a trillion. It's supposed to be 7-8 billion or something. So we're looking at 62 people own more than 3.5 or 4 billion people. Now, is this a is this an issue of lack of resources, or is it an issue of cornering of resources, of hoarding of resources, of the refusal to distribute these resources? Which one is it? I mean, this is not rocket science. I mean, everybody can understand this very, very easily. The question to ask is why? And the reason for that, the short answer for that is because I don't care. We do not care because we do not have any compassion. We don't care for other people. Now, this is the world we have created. Now, the Anbiya alayhimus salam came to, periodically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us, because this is a human condition. This is a human disease that has been in existence for a very, very long time. All through, from the beginning of mankind, human beings have been people who have hoarded. Human beings have been people who have always tried to corner resources for themselves, who have always tried to be greedy, and to get things for themselves and deny those things to other people. This is, unfortunately, the shaitani part of our nature. Now, because of that shaitani part of our nature, we ended up in situations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya, Nabi after Nabi after Nabi, to teach us the opposite of this and say, be fair, be just, be compassionate, be kind, do not oppress. Now, all of this came, these are the fundamental values that Anbiya alayhimus salam came to teach us. And that's why I'm saying the most significant and the biggest event in the history of mankind was the coming of a Nabi. Now, if you if you see today, the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, this is what he came to teach. If you see the basic teachings, the fundamental teachings of Islam, what are they? The fundamental teachings of Islam are what you hear in the Jummah khutbah every day, every Jummah, which is إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Verily, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to do justice and do ihsan. Justice is to give due where it is due, is to give everybody their right, to ensure that the rights of all the people are fulfilled. This is justice. And ihsan is to go beyond that and to give more than justice. A person's right is to get the correct wage for his or her labor. Ihsan is for you to give them a tip and say, you did a very good job, but you also did that with a wonderful smile, you did that with so much joy, you did that with with so much concern for me. So here is something more. Justice is to give a criminal, sentence that criminal to the punishment that is due for the crime. Ihsan is to forgive the criminal. Islam is the only society, is the only system of law in the world which has a place for forgiveness. Every other legal system, there is no place for forgiveness. There is a, the legal system may be perfect in every respect, and justice that is due may be given properly, but there is no scope for forgiveness. There is no scope in those legal systems, human-made, man-made legal systems, for a person who has been, who is the victim, to come and say, I do not want this person to be punished. I forgive this person, let them go. Islam is the only legal system where this is part of the legal system. A person can actually forgive the offender if they wish to do that. Now, this is the issue of Ihsan. And this is what the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, this is what they came to teach us. So, I want to end this today by saying that as it is Ramadan, let us think about this and say just one simple question at the end of all this. Why am I telling you this whole story? Just one simple question, which is, in the education of our children, in our own education, how much time do we spend and give, and how much importance do we give to the inculcation of values and ethics and morals, and how much time do we give to everything else? How much time do we give to whatever material stuff we are teaching, useful or not useful? I'm not going into that. I'm saying, how much time do we give to that, and how much time do we give to the inculcating values and ethics and morals? I think this is very important for us to think about this, because this is the root cause of all the corruption in our society, be it inside our homes or be it outside our homes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to that which should be clear to us, and to give us and help us to see that which we should do. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.